Marianne still here? She's got nursery. Okay. No. That's okay. She started the message. I love how the way the Lord works. I love how the way the Lord works and how faithful He is to us, His people. Isn't He a faithful God? Yeah. He's faithful to the Half-Go family. He's faithful to Tim and Megan. He's faithful to all that have come here today. He's faithful to our pastor, who's a walking miracle in himself. He's faithful to this church. This church is very blessed. So the message I had today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I've used this verse in many different occasions at different times, but never as its own verse in and of itself. And you know how it is. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And these two verses are packed with importance for us. And in some ways goes back to what Marianne said in the beginning. You know, people think that once they come to Christ, a Christian, and let me start there. Let me back up just a couple steps. A Christian is someone not who goes to a particular church, but it's someone who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believes the truth of the gospel, that He died, that He walked on the face of the earth, that He died, He was killed, and then He rose again from the dead, and He is seated at the right hand of God, and He will come again to judge the living and the dead. When you believe that in your heart and receive from Him, you are a Christian. You know, we call it by many names. We call it believers. We call it born again. But it's not a particular church. You can go to the Episcopalian church and not be a Christian. You can come to Hudson Valley Christian Church and not be a Christian. Because unless you believe in your heart the truth of the gospel, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. You're not a follower of Christ. You know about Him, but you don't know Him. But once we come and we do know Him, then what often happens is we think, well, I'm in. I'm in the kingdom of God. I've felt forgiveness. I know what it means now. I know love on a firsthand basis. And I have someone I can follow. And then we just put it into drive and coast. And that's not the end. That literally is the beginning. When you come into the kingdom of God, when you realize that this truth is real, this is no Santa Claus story. This is the truth. This is now you are touching the supernatural. You've entered the divine. You're in a whole different place. This is a different kingdom. But once you come in, there are still things we have to deal with. And the biggest one that we deal with is sin. And I think that's what Marianne was saying when she came in. There were times when she was, if I heard her correctly, that she made some judgments about people. We do this all the time, don't we? Come on now, be honest. Be honest. Part of it is we're involved in our lives with so many different people. We almost have to, and the younger people would get this better than someone like me. We have to file things. Things have to be filed. I have to put even people into categories. It's an automatic thing that happens because otherwise, with our lives being so complicated, I'm not living out on a farm no more where it's me and the missus and a few kids and maybe some neighbors 3 miles away. We are so bombarded with people that we categorize them and file them into different groups. You may not do it consciously, but it's sort of being done. And it can be a wrong, we can easily slip into judgment. And once we start making judgment about people, then all bets are off because we can just start sliding into all other kinds of areas. Maybe then we start talking about them. Well, I got a little beef with Pastor Mike, so I go over here to Doug and I tell Doug, you know, that Pastor Mike, he really was. And it's the beginning of a slippery slope that leads us into all kinds of trouble. But God didn't leave us in that place. He gave us the tools to not walk there, but to walk in a manner worthy of the call. We like to think, again, as Christians, we simplify the gospel and figure, well, again, it's all done. After all, the blood of Jesus is powerful and he's covered my sins. True. There is truth to that. Absolutely true. But it does not mean that there isn't a part of this walk that I have to do on my own. He shows me, but I have a free will. I'm not a robot. I make choices all the time. We make decisions all the time. And these choices and these decisions are essential and add to the walk and the power of my walk and the way I walk. It adds to my life and the life of those that are around me. I got a light. But if I start putting darkness on my light, I don't shine the same way. I don't shine the same way. That's what these verses here are about. So let me now read the verse. I'm in Romans, and I'm going to be tooling around Romans, Tommy, for a little bit of time. Tommy loves Romans. I've tried to tell him that there's more to the book than just Romans, but he loves Romans. He's got a smile over there for me, Tom. All right, good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the overview of this scripture is not that complicated. First of all, he urges. He really makes a point, and he says, therefore. As we know, if it says therefore, there's a reason for it being therefore. It's there for a purpose. And so the purpose is that the rest of the book has been leading up to this, and maybe also up to Romans 8, verse 1, where there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But it hinges on these scriptures, because in the beginning of the book, he's talking about how bad man left to himself is. In Romans 1, 18 through 32 or 33, it speaks about the decadence of man, that left to ourselves, we will even invent ways to sin. And be heartily bring others along. I mean, it is such scathing scripture that you say, could I ever be that bad? Except then I have to look in the mirror and I recognize that, yeah, I have that capability. And every once in a while, I step into it. It's the muck and mire. I kind of take a sidestep. I've been going all along pretty good out here. And then all of a sudden I take a sidestep into the muck and mire that I was in before. God doesn't leave me there. But that muck and mire is a place we really don't want to be. So he's saying, I urge you. This is like a call that you must listen. You must hear what I've got to say for you. Because this is important. This is important. So he goes on and he says, by the mercies of God. Now, we had a message last week about the mercies of God, did we not? I hope we haven't forgotten what Pastor Paul said last week. He brought last week, he talked about the grace of God. We don't go anywhere without grace. And here's Ron Troncalli's definition of grace. I don't think you'll find it anywhere. Grace is everything. This is me. And I'm telling you, this is me. But grace is everything God gives us. Every single thing is unmerited, unearned favor because I'm a child of God. Everything. Forgiveness, love, mercy, kindness, goodness. All the things that that come from God, His love, His wisdom, everything you could possibly think of that comes from God comes because He pours out grace and mercy on my life. I deserve not a lick of it. And yet He pours this out to me because He loves me so much that He wants to give me everything He can give me. So He pours out mercy on my life. Why? To present my body a living and holy sacrifice. He wants me to present my body back to Him as a living and holy sacrifice. I am meant to, that's how I am meant to live. These arms, these legs, this voice, everything in me should be given back to God. Now that's what it means to die to self and to live in Christ. See, once I recognize that this death, and if I got the cross out here, I'd be circling the cross right now. That cross, by cleaving onto that cross, by holding onto that cross, that every single thing that is in this being, my mind, my emotions, my personality, my arms, my legs, my brain, everything that I am should be given onto Him. Now, that don't leave any room for yourself, does it? No, if you give it all away, there's nothing left. So it's the word says quite clearly, what do? We what to self? We die to self. Less of me, more of Him. We know all the Christian words, but that's exactly what He wants. I'm telling you today, when I was thinking about doing this message, it's a very high bar. It's really unattainable, except by what? Grace, thank you. Except by grace, you can't get there. This is just, I want to do that. Little side story. I went up with Michael DiNardo and Roger Brotherton up to Toronto. When Toronto, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit up in Toronto. And I came back, some things happened up there that were significant in my life. I mean, I got hit by the Spirit in such a way that God just ministered to me. It was nothing I expected, but it happened. So when I'm coming back in the car with these other two men, I said, I'm really going to stop sinning. And I guess I was what you would call an immature Christian. I don't know. Or maybe it was my heart's desire. Little did I know, it wasn't possible. It really wasn't possible, but I really had a desire to walk right. I wanted to walk right. I wanted to love my Father. I wanted to walk and be led by the Holy Spirit. I didn't want anything to take me away from that. And I was going to rededicate my life to walking this way. Well, I don't know how long it took, but it wasn't very long. Before I it dawned on me, it was not possible. I couldn't do it. And then you know what can happen, and not that you've ever been there, but then you start feeling bad about yourself. I did that again. Come on now. I know you know what I'm talking about, because we're all falling to this one time or another. The very thing that we don't want to do, Paul says, we end up doing. And then he finally summarizes it all thing, wretched man that I am, but by the sake of Jesus Christ, can I get out of this? In Romans 7, there's not only one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus. Yes. But it also takes a conscious choice. And that's really where I want us to go a little bit today. There is a for me to be a holy sacrifice, presenting to God a holy sacrifice, I have to be holy. So I need to walk holy. So if you're following me, there's a very fine line in here. It's the blood of Jesus. But then Paul says in a lot of places, walk in a manner worthy of the call. So there is something I have to do. First of all, I have to identify with the death of Jesus Christ. That's a strong thing. He says that it is the temple, that I am the temple of God. I mean, I don't want to take the time to go there right now, but 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that. Also, 2 Corinthians 6, 16. That I am the temple of God. That means the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost lives in me. Do we believe that? I hope so. Because that takes faith. It takes faith to believe that that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity, actually resides in my body. If we really believe that, it makes it a little bit easier to make better choices. It really does. If you think about it and you take that into your heart, you say, well, I don't really want to now blemish myself. I've been made to walk purely. I've been made to walk holy. I have been made to be acceptable to God, to be pleasing in His sight. I've been made not to conform to this world and do just what everybody else does. Be dumbed down by what I watch on television. Be dumbed down by what I see in the store, or even in advertisements. Be dumbed down by some of the bad actions of athletes. I'm not supposed to do that. That's not to be my life. I shouldn't be taking that in. But we're around it, aren't we? If you're conscious in this world, you recognize that we're around it. Sometimes it's people we work with. It can be. And then all of a sudden, you're saying things you think you know that you shouldn't be saying. Now, how many times do we gossip, talk about other people? And how many times do we slander someone's name? Just a little word. You know, if I took you back to that Romans 1 verses 1:18 through 23, it talks about slander, gossip, backbiting. Things that, you know, that we, unwholesome talk in Ephesians 2:8, I think it is. No unwholesome talk proceed from your mouth, but only that which will build and edify and comfort. I mean, it says it there, and we're meant to live there. We can live there. You know, Peter denies Christ. First he comes, they're at the Last Supper. And when Jesus said what was coming, this is in Luke 22, 33. When he says what is coming, Jesus said, never, never shall you die. I'll die first. He offers up his own life. And then Jesus says, no, no, you know, you're going to deny me three times, by the way. And you know, like I could just see Peter's face. It was probably like, this guy doesn't have it right. I'm going to be there right to the end. And hey, within 24 hours, he was out there saying, I don't know this guy. I don't want to know him. I never knew him before. I mean, he just completely turns around. You got to believe that Peter had to have a change of heart when he saw what happened. And then Jesus on that resurrection morning is back from the dead. I mean, he, you know, after going through that whole thing, and he turns it completely around to the point where he gives up his life. They say he was crucified upside down. That's not in the word, but that is the historical context of what happened to him. All those apostles except for John were all killed for Christ. We're all martyred other than John until the end of his life. So, I mean, you know, they recognized, he learned from that experience. And that's something I want us to think about today, that we can learn from sin. When we go down this road and we fall into the trap that the enemy, and we do have an enemy, sets for us, it doesn't mean we have to stay there forever. We ought to repent. I'm sure Peter repented. I'm sure Abraham, when he gave up his wife to be a prostitute in a harem, when he got her back, he must have said, you know, I did the wrong thing. My bad. Yeah, my bad. I mean, you know, David, when he sets up Uriah, You know, I mean, what an awful thing. Takes Bathsheba, then sets the guy up and gets him killed. This is David, that was a man after God's own heart. There is repentance. There is turning things around. There is learning when we sin to discipline ourselves to not fall into that sin again. We're capable of that. When Paul is talking about the walking in a manner worthy of the call, he says it in a lot. It's not just one time you find it. You find it in Romans. You find it in Ephesians. You find it in Thessalonians. You find it in Colossians. He's constantly telling them. And he's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who do believe in Christ. And he's telling them, look, walk in a manner worthy. Don't do this. Don't do that. Now, again, we're always in the context of sin has the blood of Jesus has covered my sin. And so I'm in the kingdom of God. But how am I walking in the kingdom of God? Am I walking as an aroma pleasing to God? Because that's really what he wants. He doesn't want us just one foot in the door. He wants us to grow. Here I am. I just turned 70 a week ago, and I'm still growing. I'd like to believe that I got there. I mean, how much time does God give me? How much time do I have left? I want to get this thing done before I go. But that's not possible either. I'll probably be growing to the day that I die. That's, you know, what Christians call sanctification. It's not a steady uphill trek, I would say. Every once in a while, there's a nosedive, and then there's a trek up again. Then I go back up, and then there's a hit that it takes me down. But the truth that I want to grow, that I want to be the righteous man of God, that I want to grow in Christ, that I want to be better, and is favored by God. He pours grace into that. You know, he knows your heart. So if your heart is to not sin, let's say, he's going to be there with you. He always leaves an escape. It's never so great that we can't come against it. But it's something that I have to do on my own volition as well. There is something for me to do in all of this. So I would say, take a self-examination. Take a look. You know, the bar is high, but grace and the power of the Holy Spirit is there for us. If we get to a place where we are disciplining ourselves, keeping our eyes in intimacy with Christ, walking with him, then he will show us the way forward. Even though the bar is high, it's not going to be too high, or I won't be growing in Christ. And then, you know, the word also says, bring all things in obedience to Christ. So when there are things that are out there along the edges that are not what they should be, bring them in obedience to him. And, you know, again, it's not an effort as much as it is keeping close to the Lord. Once we stay close to him, he is going to use that time with him to draw us even closer to him. And, you know, sin will be, it happens, but it will diminish in magnitude. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I do want to read Ephesians 4. And yeah, before that, I want to read this. Ephesians 1, 17. And this was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he'll put all things in subjection under him. This is who we are in Christ. And let's see, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Again, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Worthy of the call which you have been called. Okay. All right. We also want to read this from 5, and I'm just going to hit these two points, and then I'll close. It says, I'm in Ephesians 5, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Walk in love. And then verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. At one point, it talks about, in Colossians 13, talks about 1:13, talks about being transferred out of darkness and into light. And that transfer that took place is where the believer is today. We've been transferred. We don't no longer walk in darkness. It's just that every once in a while we take a sidestep and we can step back into darkness. But what Paul is saying is here is walk as if you're in the light. Walk in the light. Don't be conformed to this world. Jesus said this in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your love show. Love people. Don't judge people. Don't gossip about people. Instead, walk in the light and walk in love, or keep your mouth closed. Shut would be better. Yeah, shut it up. I find myself doing that. I'll think something in my brain, and then by the time it gets to the mouth, I try to put a damper on it. Now, it'd be better if I didn't put it in the brain. But if you think it, doesn't mean you have to say it. And the safeguard is the power of the Holy Spirit is working in the Christian. And gives you a clue. This is not what you should be thinking, and it certainly isn't what you should be saying. And God forbid you are acting upon it and doing. It doesn't have to be that way. That check is the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And the truth is, the more I open up to the truth of this communication to the Good Shepherd, and I hear his voice and I obey his voice, the better that hearing gets. I hear it better. It's like now I'm really clued in. And it makes all the difference in the world. I was reading the other day Oswald Chambers. If you haven't read his yearly devotional, you should get it and begin reading it. For my own personal life, because I've been poring over these scriptures for the last couple weeks, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm not going to go back and be gullible and say, well, I'll never sin again. But I'm going to be ready when it comes, and for the course that I really want to take. He's a very high bar, it's about growing in Christ. You might want to do that with the Bread of Life, the little pamphlet to get your day started. We knew a man by the name of Stephen Heck. And Steve Heck would say, I get up in the morning and I say, good morning, Lord. He was in his 80s at the time. And he'd say, what do you want me to do today, Lord? And he would step in that direction. Now, I'm sure he had some faltering down during the day. He and Betty Heck would date sometimes to go at each other pretty good. You know, there were some things he had to repent from. I'm sure of it. But he was off in the right direction. You know, yeah, the blood of Jesus covered me, but I want to walk in a manner worthy of the call. I do want to be acceptable to God. Is God going to say and turn his back on me? Never. He'll never turn his back on me. Never leave me or forsake me. But does he want me to grow and improve? You better believe it. I want it. And he wants it more. And if God is for you, thank you. Walk in humility. In Philippians 3:14, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. So give an examination of yourself. If there's something you need to repent, repent. And then move on in grace. Recognize that even this relationship, even if I have to discipline myself, even if I have to take do some other things, even if I have to, you know, meditate on the Word more, spend more time in the Bible. If AJ was here, AJ's not here today. AJ was here. He said back in the day when they would go to the Sunday school classes. They'd say, pray, you got to pray, you got to go closer to Jesus. You know, he was sort of, you know, he was saying, you know, we would always tell these kids, pray and keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, they sound like cliches, but you know what? They're true. They're the truth. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Read your Bible. Stay in the Scripture. Be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's easy to take a detour and to be led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. We're better than that. And frankly, you know, we're in a world where the Lord needs us to continue working. We need to continue to be a part of the kingdom of God, and that is sharing the truth. If that light is tarnished and it looks dark and there's hypocrisy there, you know that someone who doesn't know the Lord will say, well, see, that's how the Christians are. And some of that is a smokescreen that is put up because, you know, they really don't want to follow the Lord anyway. And this may be an easy out, if you would. But the truth is, I don't want to walk that way. I don't want to live my life that way. And I want to be true to the Lord. And I want to grow. No, I'm never not going to not sin. But there's a way to deal with sin. And that is to really come and get close to Him and receive the grace that He has for me. Receive the mercy. I've received the forgiveness. Have I received that mercy? You know, Jonah, a few weeks back, we talked about Jonah. Jonah made some big mistakes. But Jonah, I think, learn from those mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Learn when you sidestep. Learn things that you can't do or shouldn't do or shouldn't say or places you shouldn't be. Don't fall into the same trap. James says, flee from sin. Draw near to God. It's doable. And if we press into Him, we're going to be walking where we should be walking. Amen?
Amen.
Sorry, I took a little longer than I wanted to take.